your finances on a higher power. Being good stewards of the financial resources God has bestowed upon each of us is the key to financial success in life. It's your finances on a higher power. Here's your host, Paula T. Webb.
Hello, fellow traders. This is Dr. Paula T. coming to you from 1610 WBGS. It's a great place to be. This is our weekly Gab Fest, bringing you the best of the best in trading psychology philosophy. The concept that Mark Douglas and I co-created way back when. We are going to, as always, help you create uncommon wealth in the markets by taking your finances to a higher power. So, it is Sunday, May 31st. I cannot believe that June is just around the corner. Kids are getting out of school over here in California already, and summer has begun. Our temperatures, which were very, very nice these past couple weeks, in the low 80s. Well, we had the Santa Ana winds move in, and that kind of blew those cool temps out of the water. And by Wednesday, we're going to be back up to 115, triple digits. So summer is always a good time to get a lot of work done here, and today is no different. We're going to talk about kind of a serious subject here today, but it seems to be a very pertinent one for today's trading. Now, we are currently living in unprecedented times in the markets. I can't remember how many of my coaching clients were just a year ago, or a year and a half ago, maybe, at the most, were complaining that the markets were dead or boring, and they were having trouble following their trading rules because the markets just weren't doing anything. There was no life to them. Now, I don't necessarily see it that way, but I can understand how some of you would. But now we have a new administration, things are rocking and rolling, and the markets are acting appropriately. So we got a lot of volatility going on, folks. And so that might mean you need to make some adjustments in your perspective. So when I talk about your perspective, what I mean is your mental environment. Now, I know there's a lot of stuff on social media about mental illness. And mental illness is a real thing. At the end of his life, even Mark kind of had succumbed to some mental challenges, shall we say. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up here today is to bring this home to a lot of traders. As most of you know, I am a hockey chick of my whole life. My mother and father are from the East Coast. And they both played in all the winter sports. My dad was a speed skater. He did the luge a couple times. Not in the Olympics or anything, but just, you know, local competitions and stuff. And he loved hockey. The first professional game my father ever took me to was a hockey game. And that was with the Pittsburgh Penguins. And Bobby Hall was playing, and the game was so brutal. We had seats right on the ice, and it was so brutal. There was just blood everywhere all over the ice. And I think I was 8 or 9 years old, and I got so scared. And my dad grudgingly moved us our seats back up a couple rows. But anyway, years later, I did get to meet Bobby Hall and at a hockey event. And I told him that was the first game I went to, and he remembered that game. And he told me blow by blow what had happened in that game. He remembered who hit him and who he hit. And you should have seen the joy on his face. I mean, here it was, I don't know, what, 40 years later? And he remembered every single game. It was super cool. And it was right around the time he got inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. And he signed a hockey puck for me, which I thought was super cool. Anyway, really nice man, really nice man. Now, the reason I bring that up is because there's a really sad event in the NHL. The NHL Stanley Cup champion, Claude Lemieux, has passed away, I guess, a day or two ago. And he wasn't an old man. I think he was only 60. But unfortunately, he took his own life. Now, you may be thinking, okay, well, we're here to talk about trading. Well, we are here to talk about trading, but you have to understand there are different levels of, and when I say mental illness, I don't mean that somebody's crazy. It may just mean that somebody is stuck in a rut. Someone has created a closed loop way of thinking, which I talk about with you folks all the time. I talk about the hula hoop effect. I talk about being a fake trader and what that is a very minute form of your mental environment not being healthy. All right. So when I talk about mental illness, I just talk about it from the perspective that we all get into ruts and we all know when we're in a rut and we all are, you know, when we're in a rut, our thought processes do not expand. They contract and they stay static. So unfortunately for, and I'm going to make this all connected. So just bear with me for these first two segments. So here you got this NHL star, Claude Lemieux. I mean, even for those of you who aren't hockey fans, you've probably heard his name. And it came out a couple of days after he passed away that he died from a broken heart. And I know I've mentioned previously that Mark Douglas died from a broken heart, and I've never really taken it this deep, but after reading the sad story about Claude Lemieux, I have to say it gave me sort of a release, because what Claude Lemieux had done was, even though he was this famous and extremely talented hockey player who you know, won four Stanley Cup championships, he had such a closed loop way of thinking. He felt disrespected because he had never been inducted into the NHL Hall of Fame. Now, I agree. He should be in that. He should be in the Hall of Fame. He's one of the greats. He always was one of the greats. And I agree that that was really an injustice. But, you know, for him to take his own life because of that and other things that happened in his life is really, really a tragedy. And that is a very high form of the hula hoop effect or the fake trading way of thinking, where you are stuck thinking you haven't accomplished what you set out to accomplish when all the data around you is showing you that you have. So it's really a tragedy that people always kind of chuckle when I say people can die from broken hearts. And I know I've mentioned this before, and it is a fact. You know, my grandparents were married, I don't know, 60 some years. And my grandmother passed away before my grandfather. And, you know, my grandfather was never the same. I mean, they were like in their late 80s, right? They'd lived their entire lives together, you know, raised their children, raised their grandkids, you know, enjoyed the grandkids, I should say. They didn't raise them. And so at that point, they were so connected that my grandfather said, you know, I don't want to be here anymore. And, you know, he literally willed himself to sleep. And he, you know, he just went to sleep one day and didn't wake up. So people can make the decision to stay stuck in a mental environment. And that's what happens with traders. Traders get addicted to trading because they think the more they do it, the more they practice it, the more they're in it, it's going to get better. Even though all the data outside of them is showing them the exact opposite. Okay, so there's two sides to this coin. So when you are revenge trading, you are not mentally healthy. When you are addicted to trading, you are not mentally healthy. When you are getting therapy to talk to a therapist about trading, even though that therapist knows nothing about trading, you are not mentally healthy. If you're going to get therapy about your trading, then get therapy from a therapist who's a trader, or at least invest their own money, because otherwise they are not going to be able to help you learn how to think and learn how to break through any limiting beliefs you have about being a trader, because they don't know what trading is. All right. So I'm not telling anybody not to get therapy. I'm telling you, just if you're going to talk about your trading, then find a therapist that's a trader. So my point being is that you have to stop and take a look at yourself and say, what have I accomplished with my trading? Especially if you're, you know, stuck in boom and bust cycles, or you've got fear of missing out, or things just aren't going the way you want it to go. You have to step back and say, where does my mental environment need to be improved? How am I limiting myself? These are just some small questions that have really great benefits to answer for yourself. This is how our minds work, folks. We have to understand that our brains will only do what we tell them to do. All right? So if we tell them, I'm not going to follow my rules, if we tell our brains, we're not going to follow my rules, then your brain's going to say, hey, no problem. I'm going to do what you told me to do. So we got to be really careful about what you're thinking. And this is what the show's about. So as we head into break, think about this. How is my mental environment not 100%? Think about that. Write down some answers. And you can send them over to me, and we'll discuss them on next week's show. But in the meantime, let's take a break. Okay, so getting back to this concept about having a broken heart, there's been quite a few traders over the years that I have worked with that developed broken hearts about their trading. And I bring this up because I really want to share this about Mark. Mark Douglas was, as many of you know, he was a genius. All right. I've freely admitted I fell in love with his mind first, although he was a pretty cute guy too. So, but my point being is that whatever initially draws you to a person or to trading, we tend to lose that focus over time. Now, every time I work with a trader, just about every time, they will say, oh my God, I just love trading so much. It's so cool. And I just can't see myself doing anything else ever in my life again. I agree. I think trading is very seductive. I think it's the ultimate mistress or the ultimate, you know, boyfriend, whatever. Because I love it too. I absolutely love it. I couldn't imagine not being in this industry. I can't even imagine what else I would do. Okay. So I get that, folks. I get it. I mean, but the difference is that I have a fulfilling life. Trading does not doesn't wake me up in the middle of the night with alerts. My trading doesn't stop me from going on family vacations. Trading doesn't make me take my laptop everywhere I go, and so forth. I have a complete, well-rounded life. Yes, I have my trading. I coach traders. I host my workshops. I do this radio show. But I also have my best cat, Solomon, who runs my house. He's the manager here. He's in charge, and he lets me know that. I have my jewelry making for my charities, for their silent auction events. I'm writing my new books. I have a life. And on top of that, I'm also a chaplain with the Sheriff's Department. So I am on call 24/7 for critical events. So trading is one segment of my life. And it has to be like that for all traders. It has to be just one segment of who you are. It cannot become everything that you are, because then that's overkill. And then that's an addiction. And then that's where revenge trading comes in. That's where you stop following your rules. And that's when you start second-guessing everything you're doing as a trader. And we don't want that. That's why I'm here. This is why I'm talking to you. This is why I'm, you know, trying to express things in a way that you're going to understand is healthy. It's mentally healthy for you not to trade 24/7. It's mentally healthy for you not to put on alerts to wake you up X number of times in the middle of the night. You have to have a life. And I know some of you guys push back about this. And it's like, well, you know, you got to be in it to win it. Yeah, okay, but not 24/7. And you know why? Because when you are in it 24/7 and you have no other life, then it's a drag. I'm working with a trader right now, and that's exactly where he's at. He has no life, like zero life. He's living off of his savings in a studio apartment, and he downsized, sold everything. He's living in a studio apartment just to concentrate on his trading. For the last 5 years, this is what he's doing. He hasn't been on a date. The only people he sees are his family, because they live down the street. You know, his mom will bring him lunch almost every day. Okay, the guy's 35 years old. And he's like, well, I got to stick with it. I got to stick with it. And he hasn't made a dime because he has no life. So now he has a broken heart. Now, you may be sitting there rolling your eyes or saying, my God, she's cracked. She doesn't know what she's talking about. But I do know what I'm talking about. I was a floor trader. Trust me. I was a floor trader, and I did not want the closing bell to ring every single day in the beginning of my career. I get it. I couldn't wait to get to work every morning and hear the opening bell. The electricity on the trading floor, of all the energy and the anticipation and the fears of all of us traders, was so addicting. I get it. I get it, folks. I do. And I love it to this day. It's a little easier now not to get sucked into that, because I have that perspective, which helped me blend into electronic trading decades ago. So it's different. But for those of you that were never on the trading floor, I understand the addiction. It's there. It's real. But you have to be aware of it, because otherwise you will end up with a broken heart, just like Claude Lemieux, who could not see every accomplishment. He couldn't, it just wasn't enough. It just wasn't enough. And I'm not saying he didn't have a fulfilling life. I'm not saying that hockey was the only thing in his life. But all I'm saying, this is an analogy. We don't know what was going on, except, you know, he had some comments about, you know, things that the NHL, he felt, NHL had not afforded him. And they were pretty legitimate grumbles. But the point is, that was his closed loop. Just like Mark Douglas had a closed loop towards the end of his days when he found out that, you know, his our biggest success stories in terms of turning traders' results around, going from bankruptcy or almost going to jail for turning accounts and turning them into multi-million dollar traders on Wall Street, and then, you know, refused to pay us. And then those same traders that we took from negative numbers started pirating our materials. And it just wasn't something Mark could resolve. He asked them to stop. He asked them to pay us. And they said no. So it really ate away at him. And that's why he's not with us anymore. I couldn't change his mind. And apparently Claude Lemieux's family maybe couldn't change his mind. And no one can change a trader's mind when they're stuck with the mindset of being a fake trader, when they're locked into the hula hoop effect, when they're addicted to trading, when they enjoy the revenge trading because they might make a profit and say, ha ha ha, I got back at the markets. So being mentally unhealthy as a trader, it may not physically take you out and end your life, but it's going to financially take you out. And that in itself is an ending, because not everybody has unlimited funds to keep refunding their accounts. So you have to really pay attention to what you're thinking. This is why I'm here, folks. I can tell you pretty much in the first couple minutes of speaking with you what is going on. So for those of you that are saying, well, I don't know what's going on and I don't know why this is happening, stop delaying. Give me a call. Set up the introductory call. I work on the weekends. I'll work in the evening. Just send me an email if the only time you have is in the evening. So, because there's a lot of times, and I've said this before, we can clear things up in one session. And, you know, what's the downside to having one session? There isn't one. So I wanted to bring this up because this is really important, especially with today's markets and everything that's going on politically around the world. You need to be in the best state of mind and have the most healthy mental environment that you can. And this is something that every trader needs to assess, whether they're beginners or, you know, you've been trading for years. It's always good to assess where you're at in your mental environment. So we will take a short break and we will continue on with more good stuff. Be right back.
Paula T. Webb will be back with us in a moment. It's Your Finances on a Higher Power.
Okay, we're back. Okay, so one of the things I want to talk about, and this is going to be part of my new book, The Sacred Path of Warrior Traders. One of the examples I give in the book, which I've talked about, I think last year on the show, is the movie The Godfather. Now, I have to admit, I really, truly love that movie, just the original one. I love it because every time I watch it, I pick up different dimensions of the characters. Now, of course, I know it's a Hollywood movie, right? However, I mean, I'm sure there's some element of truth behind it. And I'm certainly not suggesting that any traders should be in that line of work, shall we say? But that's not the reason that I like it. The reason that I like it is because it took me a long time to really figure out why the character of Michael Corleone, why he decided to go into the family business. Because it just didn't make sense. From the beginning, he's telling his, you know, Diane Keaton's character, it was his girlfriend, who would later become his wife, his second wife. When he came back from the war, he's like, oh, my father's way of doing business is over. And, you know, that's not me and all this kind of stuff, right? And he's living his life and just hanging out. And then, you know, Marlon Brando's character, his father, you know, they try to assassinate him. You know, some of the other mafia families try to assassinate him. And so, you know, Michael goes to the hospital to visit his father. And when he gets there, he finds that there's nobody protecting his father. The police are gone, and he's just leaving his father all alone to facilitate, you know, maybe another attempt on his life. So, you know, his entire family knows that he has no desire to go into the family business. But after this attempted assassination of his father, Michael Corleone realizes he's really not so distant from his family's business and their perspective as he originally believed about himself. And as he gets to the hospital and sees that his father is all alone, he leans over to say to his father, I'm with you now. Now, in that one short scene between a father and son, you can see the shift in mental perspective in Michael's eyes. You can hear it in his voice. And then shortly thereafter, you see it expressed visually when he and another family friend stand up and eliminate the second attempt to assassinate his father a short time later at the hospital. Now, the reason that I bring this up is because Michael had convinced himself he was not his family. He was not like his family. He was not interested in the family business. And that was being fake. Because if he truly was not part of the family business, there wouldn't have been anything that happened to change his mind. Not even his father getting shot. If he truly believed with every cell in his body that he was not like his family, he was not interested in the family business, if he believed that 100%, if his mental environment was fixated on not becoming involved with anything in his family business, nothing could have happened to sway his decision. Nothing could have changed his mind. Absolutely nothing. Now, I say this for a reason. Now, take a look at your trading. If somebody came to you tomorrow and said, you can't trade anymore, what would you say to them? You'd say, you're nuts. You can't talk me out of this. Because every single trader is 100% invested in being a trader, mentally, emotionally. Not sure about spiritually, because it depends on your faith and what your faith talks says about gambling and becoming wealthy and all that. That's a different dynamic. But every trader that gets into trading puts their every cell in their body into that experience. And even when family members denigrate trading, even when family members put them down for being traders. They continue to trade because that's who they are. It's who they are. And that's why it was easy for Michael Corleone to tell his father, "I'm with you now," because it really was who he was. Michael was part of the family. He was part of the family business. And he knew it deep down inside. So what am I saying here? What I'm saying is, deep down inside, there is that excellent trader in each one of you. This is ordained by our Heavenly Father. You are, each one of us, as one of His children, have been given the gift of unlimited wealth, if we believe it. Now, I believe it, and I wouldn't be here today after losing everything after Mark died and being completely devastated financially as well as emotionally. I wouldn't be here today if I didn't believe in God and didn't believe that God did not want me to go down in flames. And each and every one of you traders has to believe that too. You have to have a connection to your higher power. You have to have a connection to your soul. You have to know who you are. And again, I'm going to repeat this until I don't have to anymore. As Mark used to say in our workshops, when people would ask us, you know, how do you clear your mind? How do you decide to meditate? How do you get in the frame of reference to, you know, disregard everything else going on around you? And as Mark and I would say, the way you do that is to understand that there is every single thought in my mind I allow to be there. So if you have negative thoughts about your trading, you're allowing those thoughts to be there. You choose to allow those limiting thoughts to intrude on your trading goals. It doesn't work any other way. Now, if you have, you know, limiting thoughts or negative thoughts about trading, then you have to accept that. Accept that, write them down, and say, okay, I don't need to think like this anymore. I'm better than this. I deserve to take as much profit out of the markets as I want, because God has told me so. Now, I get a little pushback on from time to time about talking about God on the show. This is where it's at. Okay? This is my show. And I don't have a problem admitting that I lean on God every single day. Every single day. Do you think it's easy being single? No, it isn't. Do you think it's easy running a business? No, it's not. But what is easy is to ask God, what do I do? Where do I go? Tell me what I'm supposed to accomplish. Tell me how. And the answers will come. When you want the answers. That's the key phrase right here. When you want the answers from God, you will hear them. You will see them. Now, we just reissued one of our books called Living in Grace. And I mentioned this some time ago, but I'm just letting you know. These are stories, excuse me, these are stories from everyday people that had what they consider miracles happen. And this book is more pertinent today, more powerful today than it was, you know, 13 years ago when we first published it, over 13 years ago. And the reason why is because The reason that I published the book to begin with was I got tired of people talking me out of a miracle experience. I got sad hearing other people tell me that they thought they experienced a miracle, but then somebody told them it was just a coincidence or wishful thinking. When you let someone else take away anything that you think is special and unique to you, then you've lost your focus. And if you allow somebody to do that in any area of your life, it's going to trickle down into your trading. So if you get a chance, go on Amazon. It's available on Kindle and paperback. It's called Living in Grace. And pick up a copy, because everyone from time to time needs to be reminded of the grace that's already there in their lives. And a lot of times, just stepping back and saying, hey, you know what? That story I told to so-and-so a couple years ago, that wasn't a coincidence. That really was God. God made that happen. And you have to hold on to that. This is what it's all about, traders. Believing in the miracle within you, the miracles of being a trader, creating uncommon wealth. It's all right there for the taking. This has been ordained for you by God. It's been written, it's been done, and now allow it to happen to you. And we're going to head into a break again. I'll see you shortly. So getting back to the Godfather movie, I should have the theme song playing in the background for how many times I talk about this. But let's think about this briefly here today, and we'll continue this on another show, of course. But how is it that you think that Michael Corleone's character stepped into the role that he did so easily? I mean, it seemed pretty seamless in the movie. And again, it's a Hollywood movie, but if we take the message from that movie of understanding that you have to be honest with yourself about who you are, once Michael's character realized that he really wasn't disconnected from the family or the family business, then he was unstoppable. Okay? And at that point in the movie, after Michael stands up to the second assassination attempt, you can get a sense that Michael will never be the same again, because now he's being honest with himself. Now, there's nothing in the movie that talks about the shift in this perspective. You know, they don't talk about it. It's something you really have to kind of delve into mentally. So, but it, very shortly thereafter, there are several other sets of circumstances against the Corleone family when Michael begins to make suggestions to the family on how to address those situations. Then, you know, the other members of the family realized that those suggestions had come from a mental space of deep thought from lengthy self-reflection on the part of Michael. And of course, you know, anybody who's ever seen the movie once knows that Michael's character goes on to take over the family business and grow it into an ever larger financial and powerful empire. Now, again, I'm not suggesting anyone become a gangster or a criminal to achieve their financial goals. What I'm saying is it's a good movie, that we can look at and understand how one person, this one character, made a decision to change their mental perspective about the future after careful consideration, prolonged self-reflection, and chose to step onto a path to accomplish what he wanted. But just like in the movie, Michael's character first had to make a promise to himself to do what needed to be done. Now, you're going to say, all right, what's your definition of a promise? Well, in the movie, Michael's character made a promise to his father initially to join the family business. But ultimately, when he said, I'm with you now, he was making a promise to himself first. He had to make that promise to himself first, to be honest with himself first, to be able to fulfill the promise he had just made to his father. Now, this is the same for trading, folks. Without a promise to yourself first, no trader can achieve any trading goals they set out to do. Because until you make a promise to yourself, and that promise to yourself equates to a belief in you, and you're the only one that can make that promise. And similarly, you are the only one that can follow through on that promise to fulfill it to yourself. I hope that makes sense. And if not, send me an email and we'll go over it, you know, next show. So I'm going to give you some questions before we leave here today. So to help maybe make it a little more clear for you. What is a promise? Okay. I'm going to give you 8 or 9 affirmations. Explanation, sorry. A promise is power. Power, plain and simple. Self-power. Empowerment. Whatever word you want to use. Power because you believe in yourself. Power through your mental clarity. Power through knowing you will do what needs to be done at any given moment in the markets. A promise is power working in spite of or even behind mainstream or popular thought or commentary. You have power to create the as yet unknown, which are your goals as a trader. The as yet unknown, because we don't know what's going to happen in the markets at any moment. You have power. A promise is power working underneath yourself, mentally, spiritually, and physically. Power is simply knowing who you are. So ask yourself, when you decided to become a trader, what promises did you make yourself? A lot of traders come to me and say, oh, I promised I wouldn't move my stops. I promised myself I wouldn't overtrade. I promised my wife I wouldn't refund the account more than 3 times, and so forth and so on. Write down what promises you made to yourself or your spouse or whoever. Write those down. Then the second thing is, write down what promises you broke. Write down all the promises that you made yourself prior to becoming a trader that you broke. Don't say you didn't break any, because if you hadn't broken any, you wouldn't be listening to my show. So do those exercises before the next show. And if you have any questions, let me know. This is Dr. Paula. coming to you from 1610 WBGS, signing off for this week. And you can reach me at www.paulatweb.com or www.markdouglas.com. My phone number is 760-636-4290. And as always, sign up for the introductory call. You can just schedule it right through my website. I wish for you a blessed week, lots of profits, and we will see you soon. Take care, and as always, God bless.
Paula T. Webb, co-author of The Disciplined Trader, The Complete Trader, and several other all-time best-selling, award-winning books, including Trading in the Zone, books that set the bar on trading psychology. You can find her classic books on Amazon and on her website, www.paulatweb.com.